You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you our weekly news recap for the 10th of November. We've got more of the census results today that are out, which are directly about the industry, and some interesting facts and figures there. Some cool apps that you need to know about, plus a few video tips and the usual wrap-up of results around the country and more. Crazy week, hey, Mark Edwards?
Yeah, it sure has, and the prep-up coming into the leadership event. Very excited about that. We actually had the program land on our desk.
Yeah, and they look fantastic. Really happy with the way that it's turned out. We've nearly got a full house, so 200 people registered to come to the event. We've still got a few tickets left,
droops
and
drabs.
But if you want to come along, you'll have to get onto that quickly on the weekend because we can't go over our limit.
And do you know what we forgot to do?
What did we forget to do? We always forget something.
You know that little coupon code, I read the brief?
All right, yeah.
Forgot to take it down.
Oh.
So that means that if you're actually out there and you want to get yourself a last-minute ticket to the event, use the coupon code IREADTHEBRIEF and you'll be able to get a cheeky $150 off the ticket price.
That's a bargain. I suppose we've only got a few left, so...
Yep. Okay. Let's just get it done.
Let's just fill the house.
So speaking of filling the house, we're actually going to be launching the note pool again, aren't we?
Well, we are going to be launching a note pool, but we're going to be doing it quite differently this time. So we're going to be doing it using Slack. So some of the big offices out there are already using Slack, which is a great productivity tool, great messaging tool. I've been using Slack to take notes at the other conferences I go to, and it's something that uni students do all the time, right?
Queensland Uni use it quite extensively, don't they?
Yeah, they do. What they do is all of the students take notes into one note pool because different people have different perspectives on different things. And so it allows you to get a handle on what other people are thinking and maybe even ask questions and network in the group and all that sort of stuff. And it's a closed group, so that means no pesky members of the public getting in and things like that. So it's another great part of the event, I think. And after the event, like, we are filming all sessions because this event is different. We're running this event in three streams. So there'll be keynotes in the morning, keynotes in the afternoon, and then during the middle session, we're breaking out into streams of people, growth and innovation, so that if there's one particular place where you want to be, you can go and watch that stream on the day, but you can come back and watch the video later, but only if you have a ticket, because we won't be putting the long videos anywhere else.
Because that was one of the biggest challenges we had when we went to Inman, wasn't it? Because they have like sort of these multiple streams and you really are scratching your head and sometimes you're struggling as to go, well, if I go to this this particular stream, I'm going to miss out on the content from the other. But with us having, we've got three videographers that are going to be going on. I think we've got a total of eight cameras that are going to be in the event so that, you know, at the end of it, you're going to be able to see absolutely everything that's gone on.
No wonder you're looking like you've got a few more grey hairs this week.
You should see the run sheet.
Absolutely. So I suppose now that all that's done, the programs are in and the swag's in and all the rest of it, I better get down to preparing my presentation on the future.
Yeah, probably a good idea. I mean, yeah, so, well, you seem to be predicting the future earlier on in the week, though, didn't you?
Are you referring to the fact that I can pick a Melbourne Cup winner better than you?
Yeah, well, yeah, something like that. You did pick the trifecta on the cup, though, didn't you?
I did. It was a feeling, so there
I think
will
it was almost the field as well.
No, it wasn't. It was not. But I will be talking about what we're seeing in terms of trends and things like that for the next year, which I think will be very useful to everyone in planning out their new year. So looking forward to that once I get this out of the way, just get those slides done.
Yeah, absolutely. CoreLogic, as usual, gave us the wrap-up from the week from last week and what we're looking forward to with the week coming on. So obviously with the cup being done in Victoria, the numbers are back to normal. So around about 1,200 auctions are happening across Victoria, up from 300. Sydney's also above 1,000 auctions for the weekend that's coming. Clearance rate is pretty low, though. Well, it's not low. It's been below 60% in Sydney for the last couple of weeks.
But then there were like 100,000 people at the races on Saturday and 130,000 or something ridiculous on Tuesday. So people's heads clearly are elsewhere right now.
Absolutely. But, well, they were the Sydney clearance rates. So Victoria was still comfortably above the 70%. So, you know, this week is back up to towards 3,000, 2,700 auctions combined. loan clearance rate last week was 61%, and that's actually the lowest weighted clearance rate since early last year.
All right.
So, you know, anyway, again, indication of where the market is at the moment.
Yeah, and we're now in the run-up to Christmas and all the rest of it, but I guess the safest bet of this week was that the Reserve Bank weren't going to do anything.
Yes, absolutely. I think that was a very safe bet, that one.
Yeah, also maybe not such a safe bet, but I'm assuming that the government are breathing a bit of a sigh of relief in that first home buyers in New South Wales appear to be back. So while the numbers obviously are softer in one way, I'm sure that's actually better for another group of people because, you know, it's swings and roundabouts. And I'm sure Premier Gladys, after being under fire for all sorts of things she did when she was a transport minister, is actually breathing a sigh of relief.
Just a little one.
That first home buyers are back in New South Wales.
She said there was about 10,000 come back into the market. So since July, that's a fairly healthy number.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of statistics, there's been a lot of statistics, a lot of numbers around recently, and one of the interesting ones is that we had Cool Singh from realestate.com.au in the house for Transform this week, and he'd done a bit of background research on our Transform Masters gang and figured out that there were actually, wait for it, are you sitting down? I know you're sitting down because I can see you, but some other people might not be sitting down. They might be sort of doing the ironing or something like that, and I just want to make sure that I'm about to deliver a bit of a shocking statistic here, is that when Cool looked at the numbers for our Transformers in their postcodes, he actually found that there were more rental searches now than sales searches. So the combined rental searches now greater than sales searches. So for anyone that's sort of, you know, thinking that property management doesn't deserve as much thought as much into love, the ads and as much love and all the rest of it, that is a definite shift, right?
And this is across all 12 different postcodes, 12 different markets, ranging everywhere from Maroubra and Sydney beaches out to West Australia, Queensland, so all over the country. The analysis was fairly consistent in that there was more property searches for rental properties that were for sales.
Yeah, really interesting stuff there. So the census found that 30.9% of Australians are renters now. To put that in perspective, 31% of Australians owned their own home outright in 2016 compared to 41% in 1999.
That's so that number isn't has 10% shifted. Drop. That is absolutely incredible. But I'm pretty excited this week.
Yeah, I know.
Particularly today.
I heard.
The census numbers are out.
Yeah.
As in a really big data set has been made available.
Has been dropped, yeah. So it's about the real estate industry. So often...
Well, it's about all employment industry.
Yeah. All employees in Australia, where Australians work and things like that. So obviously it gives us some good data on what the average employee in real estate looks like. So what have we found out so far before you get buried in an Excel spreadsheet?
As soon as the event stopped, I'm going to be sort of locked myself in a dark room with when you can just slide the pizza under the door. There's 110,000 people in total that's employed in the real estate industry. Now, we're still going to do a little bit of an crunching on that as to what that actually means, but we get asked so often how many people are in the industry.
Well, there you go, 110,000 people.
110,000, and around about 56% of that are women in the industry. So
I had thought that it was about 50-50, you know, because the numbers that we see across our open rates and magazines and all that sort of thing tend to skew towards more women in property management and more men in sales. But it's interesting that women now outweigh men. I bet that's going to cause a bit of a kerfuffle next year with events and things like that that are typically got a lot of male speakers. I mean, for me, I don't really care who I'm looking at. You know, it's are they providing me awesome content?
The value,
but you know, this is a constant debate that rages on.
Look, I think speakers need to be and always should be chosen based on
for their merits.
Based on their merits, based on their content and what value they're actually going to be adding to the audience. Full stop.
We'll wait and see what happens, now that those numbers are out. But
anyway, I'm rubbing my hands with glee. I'm pretty excited about what's going to come out of there. I did manage to get probably around about 15-20 minutes with the data this morning. The average age in the industry is just below 42 years old.
Yeah, some people might be surprised by that the average age is 42. Also the meaning of life, coincidentally. How about that?
Maybe that's what real estate is.
The meaning of life is real estate. Can you draw that long bow?
I'll go with it.
It's actually younger than America, where the average age is about 52, 53. So our industry is actually quite a bit younger.
Yeah, it's interesting. There were quite a fair few people that were declared as being 15-year-old in the industry, so they're getting in early.
Young.
And there were four people that were 97 years old, so there's a big gap there. But everything boiling down is that 42 years old being the average in the industry.
Mm. Yeah, interesting.
So I'm really excited about getting my hands into it and crunching some of the numbers there.
If you have any questions about spread of real estate agents or anything like that.
If you'd like to know any particular sort of weird and wonderful combination of information, throw it at us.
Yeah, we're ready for it. Yeah, and absolutely. We will have a wrap-up of that census data in the next issue of the magazine, which will be out early December, just before you all go on holiday, so you can grab it and take it on your flight.
It should be a lot of fun. Franchise land. There was a bit of news from the franchises this week.
Well, Rain and Horn Commercial had some numbers out this week too, so they have a commercial insights report that they had Ray Rabs Shut the Gate Hadley launched for them in Brisbane and then again in New South Wales.
It's always nice to hear from our commercial brothers and sisters.
It is, and that's taking a look at how commercial property markets fare across the country. There is some information on our website as to how to get a copy of that report, so if you're keen on the commercial side of things, then definitely jump on and download that one.
Yep.
More interesting stuff happening in Victoria with the Noel Jones group down there. They've got four or five offices down there. They've launched a program called Melbourne Property Talk, which is pretty interesting. Heaps of content there with a bit of help from Josh Cobb, who is very into that sort of thing. So they actually got a heap of content together and then launched the show. And now I guess the challenge is to sort of keep up the good work and all the rest of
Keep topping it up in the top there. One of the other agents that hasn't had a bit of a problem with coming up with new ideas was Brent Compton from Ray White Perth.
So hang on a second. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We actually had Michael and Lucas in here when we were talking about
him. Yeah, he was the 24-hour.
That's right, the Red Bull Challenge 24-hour
the 24-hour RFI guy.
This open. He's done a listing presentation by teaming up with a local band and create a music video around the home itself.
Mm, well, everything's a test till it's not, right?
Let's just keep testing. Speaking of content as well, News Corp has actually had a new real estate digital editor appointed. Lisa Herbertson has been promoted into the role. Azel actually had a good conversation with her and you know, so went down the path of what you would need to do if you wanted to get recognised by the mainstream news, not necessarily for property, you know, so reviews and whatever, but what she's looking at from a digital editor's perspective from News Corp. So it was quite an interesting read as well.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. I mean, that's a question I get asked a lot. How do you get into the magazine? And I thought it was interesting because obviously if you want to get more attention for a property or something like that, then she's the person that you've got to impress, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would say unequivocally from an editor's point of view, we always think about our audience.
Yep.
So, you know.
And what was the thing that she said? If I'm reading this, is it something that I want to continue reading?
Yeah.
Or is it something I'm just going to flick the page or keep scrolling with the thumb and go past it?
Well, that's it. Every reader has the ultimate power, don't they?
They
just
do indeed.
Stop reading.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, if you want to think about getting your properties into the news, let's say, then you've got to think about how are they different? How are they going to improve her readership? You've really got to sort of twist your thinking around to how it is you're going to help her make her life easier. And some of the other things I tell agents too is be ready to go. Like, make sure you've got a media kit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a good high-res photo because sometimes, you know, like even when we're making decisions on who gets in the brief and who gets in the magazine and all the rest of it, it's usually the person that's more organised and easier to deal with.
And there are things you always need, isn't it? You know, you need a bio.
You need a photo. You need all of those things. And if they're all in a media kit.
And if you make it easy for the editorial team, they're going to
love you.
And they're going to come back.
So easy.
Yep.
And if you want a sample media kit or a link to a sample media kit, please email us, newsroom@eliteagent.com.au, because we do have a pretty good sample that you should have in your kit bag at any rate.
Yep. Absolutely. Some of the other things we were talking about last week, there was also a lot of tech news. It was actually very far and wide with the views that we had throughout the week. We're starting off with Alistair Maple-Brown. He spoke a little bit about the user experience that you get from actually having a great experience on an app. Now, it's not necessarily the app itself, but it's the experience behind it. How good is it to actually use the piece of software itself?
He gave Uber as an example, right? So I guess, you know, like we're sort of relating that back to the property management industry. So it's sort of saying Uber did not disrupt the taxi industry because they drive so much better.
Yes.
Uber disrupted the taxi industry because they provided a better service and a better experience.
Yep.
And the head of Google says that each time you provide service to someone, they are comparing it to not just the best service they've had in real estate or the best service they've had in property management, but to the best service they've ever had in a restaurant, at a hotel, by another person.
It's not necessarily the same industry. They're comparing you against any experience that they've had.
Yeah. Mm. So it's really an interesting thing to think about when you're thinking about how do you serve your customers is it comparable to the best service you've ever had? So that was quite an interesting point of view there by Alistair.
Yeah, I also think the point he made as well is that don't necessarily go into, we'll call it a disruptor, but chasing a new entrant into the market and copying what it is that they do. So I think the taxi industry tried a couple of times to create their own apps to be able to do what Uber does and, you know, sort of failed miserably on a number of occasions. So sometimes it's actually...
the experience was still bad.
That's right. If the issue is not necessarily the app itself, but it's maybe the user experience, they have a different look on the situation. I think that was the overall message that he's saying.
Yeah, very true. Google Maps, I mean, that's an app that everybody uses a lot, but I discovered this little article this week, which I thought was amazing. So I don't know if you know this or not, but you can actually use Google Maps for things other than just finding your way around. You can actually use it to mark your car spot. Like normally I take a photo of the pylon and try and remember where that was. But there's a really great article that we pointed to this week that actually has 12 different uses for Google Maps, which is really good.
There's a lot of cool things there.
Particularly when you're in a crowded racetrack or something like that.
Exactly. And speaking of number of features, we also had Eddie Seaton write us an article in the last issue of the magazine. It's actually trended the
top highest article of the week. Yep.
10 productivity apps that leading agents use every single day. So there were some great little suggestions there. I think you also had Slack
in the mix. We love using Slack, don't we?
It's a great thing. But anyway, check that out. There's 9 other fantastic little apps that are there from a productivity side of things. As always, links in the show notes below.
Also in the app department, let's call it the Department of Good Works now, because working with Chris Hanley for the last couple of months has made us think that. But sometimes when you need a little bit of a boost, like we're all getting to the end of the year and we're all getting a little bit tired. We're getting a bit tired, right, too.
Yep.
We'll admit that freely because we've had a lot on the last couple of months.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of apps that can actually help make you feel good. One is the Giver app. So even if you are not in the business of giving major donations, Giver app can actually allow you to give donations of 10 cents here and there to a dollar or whatever. And then you can actually look on the app at the end of the year and go, wow, I've actually given quite a bit. Because you don't realise it.
No, you don't. And sometimes you think, well, you know, so what is 10 cents, 20 cents going to be actually making to somebody that you actually donate that to? And this app itself gives you, you know, so a bit of a view as to what impact you've made from that side of things. There was also a great little app that a 17-year-old created.
Three Good Things.
How good was that one?
That's really good. So that's back to the attitude of gratitude. So if you're ever sort of feeling low, this is about the time when you start getting that big jar out.
Yep.
We haven't been so good at it this year.
We started it, but
it's actually quite hard to keep up with that gratitude habit.
Yeah. So the jar, for example, was got this great big glass cookie jar and a couple of notepads that we could write what good stuff has happened during the week. And obviously lots of great stuff has happened, but then it's just that consistency with, you know, sort of practicing that activity. I'm looking forward to actually going through and reading what it is that we've written on there.
It is actually a pretty fun exercise to try. It's not a bad exercise to try in the office as well. Yeah.
There was another app which I haven't got on here, but on our notes itself was the one that we posted today with being able to block yourself out a bit of time from social and from your smartphones.
Thrive.
Yeah,
that, from Ariana Thrive. Huffington from the Huffington Post.
Yeah.
Because she's the sleep queen, right? She's, you know, she got so tired once that she sort of fell over and smashed her face or something.
Yeah.
Then decided to be the evangelist of getting enough sleep.
Yeah. So this Thrive app actually sort of gives you a bit of a, it forces you to have a break from the technology. And the way in which she writes about it, you question yourself, why don't we do this more?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because what it does is it turns your phone, not, it's like a flight mode or something like that, but it actually messages someone back saying, for instance, Samantha McLean is in a thrive mode or something like that. Yep. I can't remember what the exact message is. Thrive mode sounds good, though. Mm. So she sort of says there's a bit of a FOMO, like as in fear of missing out, back on the other person. So it's like, oh, what's she doing while she's in thrive mode? So her ambition is to sort of make this thing go viral. Mm. To have us all on a bit of a tech cleanse every now and then.
Well, based on her past performance and the success of Huffington Post, I don't think that she's going to be having too much trouble with getting a bit of traction on this one.
And she doesn't have to sell me on the benefits of getting enough sleep.
Yes. Fun that.
Moving along.
Yeah. moving right along. John McGrath gave us his views on what tech in the future is going to be looking like. Well, he actually gave us his views on what technology is today.
We always love it when John puts pen to paper for us, don't we? Because he does have some great insights in the industry. And, I mean, I asked him some quite direct questions, like, for example, the interceptors.
Yep.
That's a Lisa B term, the interceptors meaning the search engines. I mean, we've talked about this a fair bit, and I said to John, what sort of a role do you think the interceptors have got to play in the future? And I have to say, I have to agree with him. He kind of said, I don't see a role for them unless they're going to provide more value.
Well, that's it, isn't it? If you're just sticking there in the middle and not really adding value to either the agent or to the consumer, but rather than just being a matchmaker.
It's just gaming. Gaming search engines.
It is.
But there's some really good stuff there from John. His thoughts on CRM systems, his thoughts on productivity apps for agents, all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, some good stuff there if you're thinking about your technology.
You mentioned some video and also the 3D technology as well in the article, I think.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I just think they're mainstream now. You know, like when I think about 3D and video and things like that, I don't think big deal anymore. I sort of think, well, you know,
if you don't have it.
Yeah, if you don't have it or you're not thinking about it, then you're already behind.
Yep.
So speaking of video, we also had Daniel Dalhunty write for us, and he's a very experienced journalist. And while we say video is just a necessary these days, video has actually changed quite a bit in terms of what you should be doing with it. So in the beginning, remember there were all those monkey videos. I think the monkey had a bit of a lisp too. He used to say, don't use vertical video. Like, you know, and like talked in this really weird voice about how much vertical video sucked. Anyway, now Facebook and everyone have changed things around, particularly with things like Instagram stories and stuff like that, Snapchat, whatever. Vertical video is now the preferred method. So that's a big change agents need to be aware of. Particularly, I mean, I found this out the other day when I tried to promote something on Instagram stories. You actually have to have, you know, to get that full screen experience on those big iPhones and big iPhone Xs, which I don't have yet. But, you know, maybe Santa, please Santa, will bring me. But, yeah, there's some great tips there from Daniel in terms of what you should be doing with video right now. So that's pretty much it for this week. We've got the weekend, obviously, preparing for the event. And on Monday, we've got our very first Shark Tank. So just for a bit of an update on what our Transform Masters are up to. So this week, we had a couple of challenges that threw out. So now we know who our top eight are. And we'll leave a list of them on the website. But obviously, most of the Super Six got in and three of the Lucky Six got in. So Kaylee Smith, Kylie Maxwell from LJ Hooker, Queen Bianne, and Megan Green from Wisebury in Gosford. So they're now competing for the title of Transform Master against against the other guys like Nick Pappas and Josh Hart and those guys. And what they have to do is they're competing for $5,000 in cash to invest in their business, and they have to pitch to five sharks. On Monday, they've got 10 minutes. We'll be giving you highlights of all of this, obviously, because it should be quite fun. They've got 10 minutes to pitch the sharks their business idea, and the sharks will score them out of 50. And whoever wins this wins the $5,000. So the cover of the next issue of the magazine, they'll win the investment in their business of $5,000, and the title, of course, of Transform Master 2017. So we're looking forward to finding out who wins that on November the 14th at our event.
Yeah, that's where we're going to have the winner announced after all of the scores are tallied, and I think it's going to be a pretty exciting reveal.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see Chris Gray again too from your property empire. So he came in and did the roundtable with us for the end of Property Management Transform last year, so it'd be really good to catch up with Chris again. He'll be one of our sharks.
And four other sharks yet to be revealed on the day, but I think there's going to be a lot of fun.
There could be a lot of thrashing about in the water, I think, based on how scared everyone sort of sounds at the moment. But
yes.
But we'll do the best to come there, Nevs. There's still heaps more actually to come from Transform
there
Masters.
Is.
So lots of podcasts to come. It's just such an enormous job to get all of the content out there.
Because there is such a huge amount of valuable content as well, isn't there?
Yeah. So what that means really is that we'll have great stuff for you all right up until Christmas.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So that's a wrap for this week, Sammy. I think it's back to the slides for you.
I think it's definitely back to the slides for me, and we'll catch up with you all next week. Looking forward to seeing those of you that are coming to the event on Tuesday.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.